Welcome to Regulated and Relational, bi-monthly podcast produced by the Attachment and Trauma Network. In the studio today, Julie and Ginger have Yvonne Johnson, who is president of the National PTA. They're going to be talking about the role that the National PTA is playing in advocating for trauma-informed care in our nation's schools. Come, let's listen in.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Regulated and Relational, our podcast produced by the Attachment and Trauma Network. I'm Julie Beam.
And I'm Ginger Healy.
And as always, we're excited to talk to you about all things trauma-informed. Today, we have a special guest in the studio. Her name is Yvonne Johnson. She is the president of the National PTA. Ginger, please tell us more about Yvonne.
I am honored to do so. Yvonne Johnson is the 58th president of the National PTA and serves to support the mission and vision of the PTA on behalf of all children. She's committed to being intentional with PTA's efforts to be more inclusive, diverse, and equitable, and will focus the association on strengthening family and school partnerships. Yvonne has been involved in PTA for nearly 30 years, serving in many local, regional, state, and national positions. Her passion is advocacy. She has worked closely with elected officials and decision makers and has successfully assisted in passing many education bills in Delaware. She received the National PTA 2014 Shirley Igo Award for leading a grassroots advocacy campaign around inclusive classrooms in a local school district. During her term as National PTA Vice President of Advocacy, she was the directing arm of all advocacy issues and served as the voice for families around education issues. In 2021, she and the Legislation Committee hosted National PTA's first ever virtual legislative conference, and she led the effort to form the public policy platform for the 117th Congress. Professionally, Yvonne is an independent consultant who works with local school districts on school board reform and community outreach. And she may argue this is the most important part. She is married, has three children, and is a grandma.
Ooh, I got to jump in on that. I'm a grandma too. It's the best gig ever.
It is.
Well, congratulations. Yvonne, we are honored to have you here, especially because we know that you and National PTA are embracing an initiative that involves trauma-informed care and trauma-informed education. And that's really one of the things that we want to talk about with you today, because that is an initiative that is dear to our hearts at ATN. So can you just start by telling us about you personally and why you're interested in trauma-informed education?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much, Julie and Ginger, for having me here today. I'm so honored to have been asked to participate in this podcast. I am a parent, but I'm a bubby. That's what my grandson calls me. And that is definitely the greatest thing in the world. There's nothing like it. I am so honored to also be the 58th president of National PTA. Our association is very near and dear to my heart because it's all about our mission, making sure that every child reaches their full potential by engaging and empowering families and communities to advocate for all children. That is our mission that I can recite off the top of my head because it is what we do every day and it keeps us grounded in our work. And I also believe that it's why we're so focused on this particular subject. So personally, I wanted to share my story and why this is a passion for me. As you said in my bio, I've been involved in PTA and advocacy for almost 30, actually over 30 years. And we had a Teacher of the Year in 2017 in Delaware. Her name is Wendy Turner, and her platform, as in many Teachers of the Year, was trauma-informed care. And I knew about it, but I didn't know a lot about it. And she came to our state convention and she spoke about what she was going to do and what she's been able to accomplish, especially during COVID, is unbelievable. You know, we connected, we became colleagues, and she invited me to participate in a lot of professional development on trauma-informed care. So I started going to different organizations, especially around our most vulnerable populations. Different organizations and nonprofits invited PTA to participate in the state of Delaware in these conversations, talking about restorative practices and how they work at the elementary level, the middle school level, and the high school level. There's a lot of similarities. Obviously, there's different ways of dealing with students at different ages. I'm very fortunate that I was able to experience that professional development. But through those years, what I love is, first of all, in my state, teachers are provided professional development for trauma-informed care in their PD that they get right before school starts. So it's like that summer PD that they have right before they're in their classrooms. And I think this is really important because trauma, to me, it can affect any student. You know, a child could lose a grandparent or a parent or even a pet, and they're living trauma. So some communities have different types of trauma. Obviously, the trauma that we saw during COVID was, you know, off the charts. Yeah. So we had students that lived in trauma, but they would come to school. This is pre-COVID. And at least they would be in a safe environment. They could, you know, the teachers were able to talk with them and offer restorative practices or supports, mental health supports. And then everything happened so quickly. Schools closed down. And now these students, these children are living in this trauma 24/7. So there's like no way out. And so I was happy to see that our government provided some support. And I'm going to say some because it's never enough to me, right? I'm an advocate. Right. And, you know, to help students be able to deal with that trauma while they were virtually learning. And so now we're out of the pandemic, so to speak. So kids are back and they return to school. And a big thing for PTA was making sure that we had supports for students, mental health, SEL, all of those things when students returned. Because even if they weren't having trauma at home, the pandemic itself caused trauma. And it also, you know, I don't want to get too ahead because I'm sure you'll be asking me, but we also have a lot of other reasons that children feel, not just children, but teachers, educators, school administrators. I mean, there is a lot of that they're facing. This has to be a priority because if a child is living in trauma or a teacher is experiencing trauma, how are they able to provide the education appropriately to the student? So there are lots of things I'm sure we'll talk about today, but this is why I'm so passionate about it because, you know, PTA is all about providing support and help for our families across the country.
We match your passion. I mean, this is obviously a passion of ours too, and 100% believe everything that you just said in terms about how necessary it is. And I was listening in when you talked about the PD in the summer as teachers are coming back in school. And we've identified that too as a significant need for the trauma-informed care piece to be there. You know, obviously our big event that's coming up is our Creating Trauma-Sensitive Schools Conference. But ATN is definitely aware about a need to get the information to educators, to administrators about what they could put into their PD that is trauma-informed care focused. Talk to us a little bit about the National PTA's initiatives that are trauma-informed focused, like what that looks like in terms of what you all are doing, what you all are hoping to do, that type of thing.
Great question. So I'm proud to talk about this. Since our association's founding, National PTA has played a critical role in crafting and advocating for federal, state, and local policies that keep our children feeling healthy, supported, and creating safe school environments. A safe school is a priority for National PTA. It's in our public policy platform, and everything that encompasses creating safe environments for our children is what PTA fights for every day on the Hill. We have also advocated for providing significant resources and incentives to states and local jurisdictions to create connected communities. That's a really important piece, is connecting communities, positive school climates, and trauma-informed schools that keep children healthy and in school and not staying at home. So there's a piece there too where we don't want children not to come to school. Point in fact of what I brought up earlier, this might be their only time that they're feeling safe. So we want to make sure that they're in school. We also have been advocating for comprehensive approaches to addressing the needs of children exposed to violence and trauma. We can talk a little bit about safe and supportive schools when it comes to gun violence. So we have a very strong position. We do a lot of work around laws that have common sense gun laws. We at PTA was on the Hill literally a few days before in 22 when the best package that has come through. It wasn't perfect, but it was the best in like 27 years, you know, common sense gun laws. And we were on the Hill with our members advocating to the members of Congress about how important it is, because there is nothing more important to a parent, a grandparent, a family than making sure a child goes to school and feels safe. And that also goes for our educators and our school administration. We need to make sure that people feel safe in school. And so, unfortunately, the growing number of school shootings that are happening within our country, parents are terrified. They're scared that it's going to happen in their school. So this is why it's so important to have these laws in place. And I'm going to share another personal story. I was talking to my colleagues yesterday about this, that I wanted to be able to share this on the podcast. Is I was recently invited to come to, this was in October, to go to a walkthrough of the Parkland Marjory Stoneman Douglas school shooting site. And I was uncomfortable about going, but I knew it was important for PTA to be present. A 5-year anniversary, and they were tearing down the site, the building in which the shooting happened in. And I went, and we went through a walkthrough. Nothing had been touched in 5 years. The blood was still there, the tissue, the bullet holes, the glass. Mm-hmm. It was the most profound thing I've done since I became president. Wow. I, of course, was sobbing through the whole thing. But what is so impactful, first of all, was that there were all these different representatives, you know, from different nonprofits, from security, from school districts, school boards, so on and so forth. There's no way that you could have left this situation and walk through and not feel compelled to take action. Mm-hmm. I told the gentleman who organized it, Max Schachter, whose son was one of the first students killed on site, how brilliant it was, because there's no way people would go back and not want to take action. How are those students that were survivors going to deal with this? Mm-hmm. How do they go back in the building? Look at Uvalde. I mean, Sandy Hook, let's just go on and on. I wish we didn't have to, but it's tragic what happened. We have to stop this, but we also have to think about how it's affecting the rest of the school. When we did the walkthrough, there was a reenactment of a teacher in the room protecting the student. She was killed. There were several educators in the building that were murdered that day because they were protecting the student. And so how do we not recognize that our teachers and our students need trauma-informed care? This, if that isn't trauma, I don't know what is, okay? Yeah. I don't know, as an adult, that I could walk back in that building ever again, or the student resource officers, or whoever it is that has been affected by this. They've seen a trauma beyond description that they never want to think about again. I do appreciate how the families, the survivors, are using this to make change, to change laws, whatever it is. And one of those things has to be required professional development for our teachers to have trauma-informed care training. I'm older, so let's, you know, rewind 20 years. We used to have grief counseling, right? If there was a death, you know, a student passed away in the school, or a teacher passed away or something, that is no longer sufficient. Mm-hmm. We have to address the issue and make sure that our families and our students are getting, you know, trauma-informed care. So that's a big thing that I have recently been through that I thought was an important story to share. Another thing is in 2021, which was obviously when we were just coming out of the pandemic, we launched the Healthy Minds program. And we had a symposium at our 2023 virtual convention on youth risk prevention to help PTA leaders learn how to become trauma-informed. We have a position statement on trauma-informed care that we adopted in 2017, even before the pandemic.
Yeah.
So we have been ahead of this, PTA, when I say we, PTA has been ahead of this before, you know, yes, the pandemic caused more trauma, but we were addressing this as an association well before the pandemic hit. Also, one of our main and ongoing legislative acts this Congress, this upcoming Congress, is RISE, R-I-S-E, from the Trauma Act, to help support schools in their efforts to create connected communities, develop positive school climates, adopt trauma-informed practices that keep students healthy and in school. Again, to support our staff that's in the school. This is something that PTA has been working on for a long time, and it remains and grows to be a priority for us as we move through our advocacy efforts with our members of Congress.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much because, yeah, it is incredibly important to have that PD before school starts, but it's so much more than that, right? It's the mission, it's the ongoing care and thought and intentionality through many different programs. And so you've really touched on quite a few. It's very impressive. And I love that because it's more than a one-day PD. That is just never going to be enough. It's a paradigm shift, it's a heart shift, it's looking through a completely different lens. And I love that you keep going back to the educators, that we have to care for the educators.
Yes.
If we don't care for the educators, they cannot care for the kids. So that is beautiful and very intentional, you know, and you're talking about safe schools, but you're not just talking about physical safety. It is emotional safety. It's being able to walk through those doors is some of the bravest acts that the educator and the student can do.
Yeah.
And so just
yeah.
them knowing.
And having the supports and the mental health services for the adults as well, because they are the ones that are going to have to, you know, be emotionally healthy and regulated to help the
yep.
students.
Education is a joint effort. It's everybody working together as a community to make sure that students can come to school, feel safe, be supported, be healthy, and learn. And you can't learn if you have all this other stuff going on and you can't focus, you know? And like I said earlier, trauma is not a one-size-fits-all answer. There are so many different ways that students, that children feel traumatized and educators. And so I think that's a really important thing that we always have to talk about when we're talking to our decision makers about providing not just the PD, which is 1000% important, but also the support, the
yes.
sustainability, right? You know, during COVID, and I'm sure you're aware of this, but I'd like to just bring this up, is we had the CARES Act and then the ESSER money, and there was a lot of funding that was supposed to go towards these initiatives. And the one thing that National PTA, all of our PTAs will continue to advocate for, is to keeping those things in place. Because what I don't want to hear is the school district say, well, we don't have the funding. That has to be just like a core subject, like math and science and reading. We have to have mental health support in our schools to help our children and our adults be able to stay in school and feel safe. Although we were thrilled to see that there was money allotted, the school districts need to figure out a way, and the federal government needs to help them out. So we need more funding to help them. You know, something that I was reading through, we're having our big legislative conference coming up soon, and I'm just reading through some things last night. And, you know, it just makes me nuts when I see they want to cut Title I funding, because that funding could also help with this. I mean, why would you ever want to cut any funding where you can help kids? I don't get. But, you know, they have a budget, but we have to continue. Our voices are very important. Our members, our PTA members, they are the constituents of these elected officials, and they must continue. That is what PTAs can do.
Oh, I love everything. I'm thinking in
yeah.
particular about one of our board members who's an educator. We're working with her and her district to do some family engagement work that is highly trauma-informed. We're so excited about it and about the potential for it to be replicated. Initial funding is coming through that Title I, and she was brilliant figuring out how to use that money and pull in the resources, pulling all of that together. And I'm thinking, what a beautiful meld of that, that is serving the families that are going through the program now and is going to continue to grow and serve even more families, we hope, at different schools within the district in the coming school year. What I know from working with the educators who come to our conference and work with us on the regular is that there are a lot of very creative educators out there who see the big picture from a trauma point and realize that not just the people in the building need to know, but the families need to be educated. And there does need to be a synergy there that helps the families get information too out of this. And it also helps them to be a more active part of what's happening for their own children and the school, you know, generally.
That's a great point, Julie. You know, PTA has been and remains very committed to calling attention to the importance of family engagement. It's all bread and butter in PTA is family engagement and developing and implementing school policies to have positive school climates and family focused interventions for youth involved in juvenile justice system and the mental health services and delivery to maintain a safe and healthy environment for all students. You know, when you have very strong family engagement in a school, you'll see the students perform better. Yes. And they should be part of the decision making. Families should be included in any decision making happening in a school. And they are the ones, our families, our PTAs, making sure and advocating that there are policies in their local school districts that create safe schools, safe environments, and feeling, you know, there's supports, advocating for SEL or mental health supports, whatever it is in the schools. But if the families don't know about it, so the education piece, right? That's why I felt so fortunate that I was able as a PTA leader to go and get the trauma-informed care professional development, because I'm sure that most parents have not been through that and they need to have it, not just helping them at home with their students, but to understand what the student is going through and be able to work. Because again, we all have to work together for children. We can't work in silos.
Right.
And so this is where the family engagement piece comes in. PTA also obviously supports the Bipartisan Safe Community Act. That is something where it's school-based and our members will be advocating to their members of Congress to making sure that this is an act that is sustained and funded. And that's what I mean. What I worry about is we put these things in place and then when the funding goes away, that's why I brought up the Title I money. You got to think creatively. You know, we can't put these things in place and have them for a couple of years. They have to be ongoing and sustainable and continuing. And so this is a big thing that PTA advocates for.
I love your advocacy heart. I feel it. I mean, you cannot shout this loud enough for long enough because there's just so much need. I love that you've talked about what local PTAs can do because you're doing this at a national level, which is so important, but it really does start, you know, these constituents from that, you know, local level. So education to parents, education to the school board, you know, and just.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think one of the things that I would say, if there is a PTA member or a parent listening to the podcast today, is that we encourage our local members to advocate for better discipline in schools. Like districts should be replacing, whenever possible, evidence-based multi-tiered behavioral frameworks, such as a positive behavioral intervention and supports that improve school climate and safety. So that's where that restorative practice comes in, where educators can really help with that. I'm sure that, you know, a lot of families would appreciate this. They just need the education. They need to understand about it because, you know, when you look at schools that are in very high poverty areas, our most vulnerable students, you might have a very high suspension rate. You might have a high expulsion rate. And we want that to change. Students need to be in the classroom learning, but in order to do that, teachers have to have that professional development in order to think about alternative ways of disciplining a student. And I'm not saying let all the kids get away with whatever, but but it is important that it's not so, okay, this kid did this, but you know, we're not going to try anything. We're just going to expel them. Right. And I do believe that across the country, we're seeing a change, and it comes, you're right, our members need to advocate to their school boards because these are probably local decisions and not so much state decisions or federal decisions. And so if that's where we come in as PTA, where we can educate and talk about our policies and make sure that parents are advocating to be part of the discussion, to be at the table about how these decisions are being made.
I love it. I think the listeners are, for the most part, parents, and I'm encouraging them, even if you're a parent and an educator, to think about getting involved in your local PTA and doing exactly that, figuring out how to give the information that you have about being trauma-informed to your school community, your school board, and also to your local legislators, to your state legislators.
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of information that those of us who've been walking the trauma-informed path have that other people do not have about how to approach, you know, discipline and how to look at behaviors and what they mean and the neuroscience behind that. Yvonne, I'm excited. We haven't told our listeners yet that you're going to be with us in Dallas at our conference. I'm excited about that because I'm excited for us to continue to find ways to collaborate with National PTA in general, but also because for you as a trauma-informed individual to be able to get what we know is even more information. I mean, I think we're going to blow your mind. At least I hope so.
I'm looking so forward to it. One thing I will say to your listeners is that I know a lot of people think PTA, you know, PTA is a brand, and people think PTA is about, you know, the bake sale, or they think it's about raising money and supporting the school. And it is. There are things that PTA does in that respect. But what PTA is really to the core, and as our founders, you know, started PTA in 1897, 2,000 moms showed up in Washington, D.C. to advocate. So our founding roots is about advocacy. And it's always been about what is best for children all over our nation. Mm-hmm. And that is why it is so important that parents, families, and educators are at the table when we're making these decisions about supporting our students. And I'm proud of PTA that we were doing this before it was the savvy thing to do, right? Because you know how this goes. Sometimes this is what's trendy. But we were advocating for this before that because we recognize as an association the importance of our families being involved in this and the importance of having trauma-informed care schools. Because again, a student can't learn if they're living in trauma. And recognizing that mental health support is not a stigma. That's a big thing. It's not a stigma. Obviously, as the years have progressed, it's become less and less of a stigma. It is something we want our students to come forward and talk about this. So, you know, think about a classroom where you have a student that might be acting out. They're probably acting out because something traumatic happened in their life, where there's so many things it could be. I mean, a kid could be freaked out from the flooding that we had, right? We were just talking about. So it's really important that an educator understands that and is able to work through that so that they can bring the child back into being, you know, part of the classroom and working to really learn and be confident in themselves and not being worried, you know. So there's nothing that's more important than the health and safety of our children in our schools. And that is why it's such a passion for PTA and for myself.
We feel that from you, Yvonne. We can tell this is your passion. You are in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. And what an honor it is to be mission aligned with you.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited about coming to the conference and speaking and meeting everyone and talking. I love to talk, as you can see. And so I love to talk to people about things that I'm passionate about and hear, you know, what they've done and what their views are. And, you know, I always say this, and I've been doing this a long time with the advocacy coalition partners, working together is how we really make the change, because Our voices are important, but together they're even stronger.
That is why our podcast is called Regulated and Relational. We know that connection is the antidote. So we love it.
So in the show notes, for those of you who are feeling led to advocacy, and I'm geared up about that at this point, just listening to you, Yvonne, I'm going to put links to the RISE Act and to the Safe Community Act, because we at ATN are 100%
fabulous
those two, and a link to your upcoming legislative conference. You know, if there are PTAers out there who are listening to this podcast and don't know that's happening, which I'm sure they probably do because they've gotten that information through you all, because I think that's an important event that you guys are coming up.
As awesome. Perhaps also, I don't know if this is a possibility, but we have a position statement on trauma-informed care. We passed it in 2017, maybe a link to that so that it...
Perfect.
A position statement really helps. It's really geared towards our members, and it helps a family really be able to have talking points that they can understand and be able to use when they're going to their decision makers to advocate for these supports.
Awesome. Perfect. I think that's great. What a great tool. Well, thank you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for agreeing to come to Dallas. It's going to be exciting to meet you in person. And
yes, looking forward to it.
Have you meet everybody that we know you're going to be interested in getting to know. So
great.
Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me and for inviting PTA to be a part of this amazing, important work.
You're welcome. And thanks, listeners, for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next episode. Hi there. It's Julie again, checking in about the Creating Trauma Sensitive Schools Conference. We are 12 days away or less, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. And we want you to know that you need to hurry up, but there is still room for you. There is still room. So come on to Dallas if you live near there or can get there. We're starting on the 18th. That's a Sunday with our Academy Day, and then 2 days of in-person conference on the 19th and 20th. The rest of you, there's plenty of time to sign up for the virtual conference, and it would be so worth your time to do that. It's on the 22nd and 23rd of February, and we have so many fantastic workshops, plus a great wrap-up from Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris on Friday. And the cool thing about the virtual conference is that you have on-demand access to it for the next 30 days after that. So even if you've got other things planned on the 22nd and 23rd, you don't have to listen to all your workshops then. You can catch up in the next 30 days. So think about it. It's highly valuable. It's worth continuing ed credit and possible graduate credit for you to do that, because all of those things are offered now. So if you need those professional credits, it's a great trauma-informed, resilience-building way to do that. Conference.attachtrauma.org. I'll say it again. Conference.attachtrauma.org. February 18th through 20th in Dallas, the 22nd and 23rd, online virtually. I look forward to seeing you all there.
This has been another episode of Regulated and Relational. This is the last episode of season 3. We'll be taking a break to host the 2024 Creating Trauma Sensitive Schools Conference. Season 4 will begin on Tuesday, April 2nd. A special thank you to Joe Kramer for donating our music. For more information about the Attachment and Trauma Network, visit our website, www.attachtrauma.org. Show notes and upcoming episodes will be available on our website and through anchor.fm. I'm Lorraine Schneider. Thanks for listening.